Heavenly Father, as we come to look at your word today, we pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to be challenged, to be affirmed in what it might speak into our everyday lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let me begin with a question. Now, thankfully, you're not going to have to answer it, but I'll answer it in regards of a story in my own life. But have you ever done anything stupid? Aren't you glad you don't have to answer that? I can see most people smiling and most people going, oh yeah, if only you knew. But I thought I would share a story with you because we've all done silly things and I certainly am no different than anyone else. If you remember back to the start of February, there was a bomb scare in Virginia. I assume you remember that. Now, before you are thinking, I didn't put the hoax bomb there. That's not the stupid part of the story, okay? That's not what the story's going to tell. But, as you know, the town was closed off. And I got a call from Billis School. It must have been about 12:30, maybe 12:45. And they asked, would we come and pick you up? Because the bus that he gets home, obviously, has to come into the town. And just in case the road was closed, just to help Desi, the bus driver, they were asking some of the parents who were local to come and pick their children up. So, Bea and I, Julie, headed off about 1 o'clock maybe or so, and we picked you up, no problem, going down towards the Nankwe and across onto the N3. And on the way home, there was a roadblock just past Lisgray, and there was a guard stopping traffic, and the guard was sending all the traffic up past Quaid's, past the Piggery, and up to Killinkeer, and back onto the Virginia Road, and so on. And I rolled down the window, and I said to the guard, look, I just live beside the Park Hotel. Is there any way that I can just, you know, go down to the old hospital, turn right, and up that way? And he said, look, no. He said, we're spending all the traffic up around the one-way system. He said, anyway, when you get to the end of the Bailieborough Road, you can turn right into the town. And I said, but it's not where the bomb scare is. And he said, look, there's no problem. He said, it's only just the courthouse side of the road is blocked. The traffic is going past, you know, the other side. So that was grand. Went all the way round, come down in the Bailieborough Road, and it was blocked. And I said to the guy who was blocking, look, the guard said I could go through the town. And he kind of looked at me and went, but it's blocked the town. And I went, yeah, but the guard said I could go through the town. He said, okay, up to you, fair enough. So I drove down into the town, and there was a roadblock just at the top of New Street, you know, where Eddie O'Reilly's is there. And I drove around the roadblock and I'm driving down towards the Pelican Crossing. And then I realised there's actually no traffic coming through the town. And not only that, but the bomb squad lorry was sitting outside the courthouse blocking the road, whatever. And here's Bucky, you hear, that's a good northern word, driving down the town. And suddenly I realise, maybe I just shouldn't be here. So we kind of pulled in and I had a chat with the guard. Vita's nodding her head, because she told me, you know, don't go, whatever. So eventually I had to turn around, come all the way back through the town, eat a bit of humble pie going past the guy who told me I couldn't go in. And we went all the way around Munter Connaught, the whole way around the parish as it happens. And we even had to stop for a snack in Munter Connaught. It took us so long getting home. And then on the way back in from Dunankery, just as we turned into the rectory, what did we see? Traffic coming through the town. The bomb scare had been lifted. And what occurred to me was the stupid thing that had I been in Northern Ireland, had I been in the UK, had I been in America, what would have happened to a lone car driving down through a town that was blocked off for a bomb scare? Well, you know what might have happened, and I'm glad it didn't. Anyway, Craig is happy to admit he is stupid. Anyway, we're all stupid, we all do things, and we chalk it down to experience. We learn from that. Well, I share that story because last week we began just a short sermon series looking at the book of Proverbs. It's called the Wisdom Book in the Bible. It's about a third of the way through the Bible, halfway through the Old Testament. And it was a book that was written by King Solomon, who, as we heard last week, was the wisest king of all. And it was written as an instruction book largely for the people of God in that time. And I think in a very relevant way for the people of God today so that we can live out wise, godly lives. So I have a lot of reading to do and research to do in that book when it comes to bomb scares and all the rest and obeying authority. But in the foundational sermon last week, we found that Proverbs is made up of some parables and stories, but largely it's made up of little couplets. And the couplets have two parts. The first part says something that the wise person does, and the second part says something that the foolish person does. And we finished off last week with the first of the couplets, Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It underlines that all of us should be open to learning every day in life. Every day is an opportunity to learn, whereas the foolish person says, I know it all. Do you know anybody like that? Who says, I know it all. I don't need to be taught about anything. And especially when it comes to the things of God, none of us are experts. We should always be open to questioning and learning and finding out more about the things of God. So where does the journey take us from here? Well, normally when I sit down and prepare sermons and prepare a sermon series, it's, wouldn't say straightforward, but it is more straightforward than Proverbs, because normally there's a passage that I can pick and then we can look through the particular passage on a Sunday. But the problem with Proverbs is that it is largely made up of self-explanatory short phrases that don't need much explanation. So as I began to think about Proverbs this week, I decided to take a more thematic approach to Proverbs, to pick a theme and to see what Proverbs might say about that particular theme. And as I began to follow this kind of line of thought, I realized there were many, many different themes that emerges from Proverbs that it speaks into. So I'm going to pick over the next few weeks just some general things to say. And hopefully, as they say, there will be something for everyone in the audience. Something for all of us to think about and I hope apply in a relevant way into our lives. So to help, what I've done is I put everything on a separate sheet inside the weekly booklet. You'll see it there. And what I'm going to do is speak on three different areas. I picked them randomly, and I'm just going to leave them before people, and hopefully leave them that we can have food for thought. Well, as you'll see on that sheet, the first one that I've picked is, what does Proverbs say about love? Now, I'm not talking about the kind of heart love. I'm talking about that sense of love in a broader sense between people, in families, in church families, in given situations. What does Proverbs say about how we are to react as individuals, as a church, as a community, as a society, in the more difficult moments in life? How are we to react and show love to those around us, to those who annoy us, to those who hurt us, to those who are different, in those moments when the gasket is about to blow? How should we respond? Well, I picked four verses, and I'll read through each of them quickly. And as I say, I'll leave them before us to think about. Proverbs 10 verse 12 says, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. Proverbs 15 verse 17, and I actually really like this one. It's better a dish of vegetables served with love than a fatted calf with hatred. It's better to have something simple served with love rather than going through the emotions or motions of something bigger. Proverbs 17 verse 9. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. And then Proverbs 25, 21. If your enemy is hungry, give them food to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. Like I say, Proverbs is not going to be easy. It challenges all of us how we respond in different situations. Second one that I've chosen is the subject of farming. Now, many of us live, we all live in a rural part of Ireland. There are many folk here who farm every day. And I thought, well, what would Proverbs say about farm life? How would it speak into how we appreciate what we have, how we work with what we have, how we are to respond and take care of what we have? And also, as we come to the last one in this, how are we to look after animals or pets of any kind? How are we to treat the animals that are given into our care? Again, just reading through, and I might make a slight comment on one or two. Proverbs 28, verse 19. Those who work the land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. In other words, if we just simply dream about things, we'll never do anything. But if the hard work is put in, then we get the results of that. Proverbs 14, verse 4. And again, let me just explain this. If you remember that in the time this was written, and again, there's many places in our world today that use oxen. Oxen were such a valued resource, weren't they, for farm life, for ploughing, for doing all sorts of heavy work. And many people today, probably throughout three quarters of the world, still have oxen. But we can replace, in some senses, the technology that we have, that we use, and also many of the animals that we have, that without them we don't truly have what we might call a farm. So Proverbs 14 verse 4, where there are no oxen, the manger is empty, but the strength of the ox comes abundant harvests. I guess it's learning to appreciate what we have and what we are given that bring us abundant harvests. And then finally, the care of farm animals and the care of pets in general. Now, one of the things I've learnt about living in a rural community is the amazing depth of care that many farmers have for their animals. I guarantee every single person here who keeps any kind of animal knows exactly everything about them. Knows exactly everything about every particular animal. Well, listen to this. Proverbs 27, 23. Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. That speaks about the responsibility of care for the animals. And then generally for anyone that keeps animals, the righteous care for the needs of their animals. But the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. And again, that places a responsibility that we all have to care for the animals that we have. Do you agree? Does it make sense? The final one that I've chosen is the theme, the power of words. Again, it's a difficult one. But again, it challenges all of us, as I said a little bit earlier on, to our children. Words can be incredibly destructive. And once they are out there, they are incredibly difficult to take back. It's like putting toothpaste back into a toothpaste tube. Once it's squeezed, it's very hard to put back in. Words can be used to build up, but equally words can be used to tear down. Words can be destructive and divisive, and yet words used in the right way can be used to encourage people, can be used to love people. And as we come to this section, if we're honest, we all at times are guilty of misusing our words. Again, let me read through just a selection. Interestingly, Proverbs has a lot to say about the use and the power of words. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. In other words, lies will catch up with you. You're only fooling yourself if you think that they won't. And again, two that are quite similar, Proverbs 11 and Proverbs 20. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. We all know the people that we can trust and talk about. It's amazing. But how hurtful it is when we hear things that we've been shared with someone that come back via other people. Proverbs 25:23, like a north wind that brings unexpected rain, is a sly tongue which provokes a horrified look. Proverbs 26:18-19, like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death, is one who deceives their neighbour and says, I'm only joking. And then from our reading today, notice out of the six or seven things that Proverbs 6 highlights, notice how many are to do with the use of words. A lying tongue, a false witness, a person who stirs up conflict in the community. As God's people, we all have a responsibility in the words that we use. Sometimes we use the words inappropriately in anger, and we're all guilty of that. But how careful we should be in the words that we use. Do they build up or do they tear down? So as I finish today, plenty to think about. As I've said at the beginning, Proverbs, it's not meant to be judgmental. It's not meant to make us feel bad, but it's meant to challenge all of us. in how we love, in how we look after our animals, and in how we use our words today to allow us to live more godly lives. For now, as we leave Proverbs today, I just pray that God's words will speak wisdom into all our hearts and into all our lives. So let's pray for a few moments together. Lord, no one here, including myself, has life sussed and doesn't need to learn. I need to learn, we all need to learn to love better. We all need to learn to look after the animals and those things that are given into our care. And we all need to learn to use our words more lovingly to build up rather than to tear down. So as Proverbs speaks into our lives, may it challenge us and help us to become more godly in our walk each day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.